yesterday, we talked about Deshaun Watson and Chad Wheeler, the differences and stereotypes amongst the media coverage for both Deshaun Watson and Chad Wheeler, which begs to differ the different other types of stereotypes that black people have to deal with, as well as athletes and black people all around the world. So today, I asked everyone to talk about what Dana Horsley had to say about Justin Fields in the upcoming draft, and show some different stereotypes there as well. So I'm going to try to breeze through those real quick. But before we get started on that, Dura, how you feeling?
I'm cool. Cool. You know, another day. Almost done. So.
Cool.
I'm cool. How about yourself?
I'm good. We did. Just, doing a normal day's work.
And yeah.
That's me. That's what I stick with.
Yep. That's it.
All right. So let's get into it real quick, Daryl. Let's talk about these stereotypes. First, let's talk about what Dale Porthy had to say. Sorry. What he had to say the other day in regard to Justin Fields. I think he said it Monday the 5th. So he pretty much questioned Justin Fields and his ability of his work ethic. But he did not clarify himself when he said that. When he should have said that this was something that came off firsthand, and this is something that I am not aware of, but what I am getting feedback off of other teams questioning his work ethic. Instead, he went on Pat McAfee and pretty much just went into this big rant about Justin Fields and his work ethic. And I think he said something about not being smart for the game, etc., things like that. There was a lot of people that went into a frenzy about that. It's something worth looking at when you think about it, because there are a lot of scouts that usually, and it's a lot, not all of them, but there's a lot of them that likes to use different terminology of words amongst white quarterbacks and black quarterbacks. Hence, an example, terms that they would use for white quarterbacks: smart, display intelligence, understand the game, leader with command of the huddle, consistent, calm, poised, credit for production, good or outstanding, fit prototype. What I am about to get ready to share with you and everybody else right now is the stereotypes that expect all this extra junk, but this is pretty much this is what's being used amongst black people. These are the terms that black people use. As soon as I can get it up here. But before I do, we'll be right back. All right. My bad about that. All right, I had to reboot just so I can get this to share. So. Okay, you see this?
Yes.
All right, so these are the terms that they use for minority quarterbacks, which are black people. Physical characteristics: judged as erratic or unpredictable. Success and failures to outside sources. Learn body parts: hands, weight, frame, body, big or lean. Bolts prematurely, not stand in a pocket, hesitates. Less of a leader. Game has, deficits, and footwork is a mess, and he has issues. These are the terminologies that they use. So, with that in mind, I'm going to have this up as well while I'm sharing this in the video as well, But in order for me to get to it, I have to stop this share and actually go into the article. But I definitely have it up while I am talking about this. But here are some of the examples of real life. Here are some of the examples right off the bat that uses these terms. Steve McNair, quick arm, awful strong, stand flat-footed, and flips and still put a little something into it. Again, these are definitions of hands and learning of the body parts. Cam Newton, elite size and strengths. Built like a tight end, impressive mobility for his size, had the speed to pick up quick yards with his feet, strong enough to shake defenders off his back, extremely tough to bring down, does a great job keeping his eyes downfield even when he's on the run, elite arm strength, you can make any throw you ask of him, accuracy is good when he sets his feet and takes his time to throw, serious character red flags. There's no denying Newton's raw talent, but I wouldn't touch him early in the draft. He's a mess. That's Cam Newton. Donovan McNabb. The rap against him was familiar and for McNabb, infuriating. Great athlete, good option quarterback, but can he run a pro-style offense? Less of a leader. Michael Vick. Versatile scrambler who is very tough to defend, show quick feet, excellent balance. Smoothly dropping back from center in his setup. Still needs to mature as a player. Again, less of a leader. Sometimes get too confident in his running skills, forgetting to eye his secondary receivers in order to run with the ball when his primary target is not available. Dante Culpepper. Big fish in a small pond. Huge player with good athleticism and strength. Very strong arm and possesses good mobility. Average release, more of a pocket passer than a scrambler. He has a good pocket strength, tough, mature leader. Again, we're talking about learning of the body parts. That's Dante Culpepper. Jameis Winston. Excuse me. His release, though substantially tightened up in 2015, could still be more refined in the pocket, allowing him to generate more velocity when his feet can't be ideally set. His decision-making is far more of an issue in 2015 as opposed to his redshirt freshman year. Again, that is not only as a less of a leader, but bolts prematurely, not standing in the pocket, hesitate, etc. On the field, Winston has a case to be the most NFL-ready and talented quarterback prospect in 2015 draft. Off the field, however, he can make or break Winston's values to NFL teams in the top 10. He has issues. Jason Campbell. Finally, the game finally slowed down for him. Didn't make mistakes. He strived faster, not short area quick fast. He liked Aaron Brooks because of his negligence, delivery, and his running. Robert Griffin III. He's just running around winging it. He's Michael Vick, but not as good as a thrower. Vince Young. No, not Vince Young. Brian Leftwich. He stands real tall in the pocket and makes the throws. Learn body parts. Teddy Bridgewater, above average arm, but not a powerful arm. He hang tough to deliver passes in the fade of pass rushing. Mobility of rollouts can get a rhythm of nice accuracy. Josh Freeman, elite frame with excellent height and a great condition. No questions about his arm. Shows elite arm strength on 15 to 20 yards throw outs and posts. Use nice touch and throw a catchable ball. Learning the body strengths. Deshaun Watson. Number one, he plays the best in the biggest stage. The best thing is leadership, and he is a winner. He has to develop into a pocket passer. Falls under both prematurely, not standing in the pocket, hesitates. Patrick Mahomes, I may be crazy, but when I watch his tape, just as a scout, I get excited. He's a guilty pleasure. We have all biases. Going into Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And I'm not making this up. This is what it says. This guy cannot translate. I left saying, I love this guy. He's so much fun. He pulls our plays out of his ass, and you wouldn't believe it. It's not dink and dunk. He believes in his arm so much that it's a problem sometimes. He's not ready right now. I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, but that's a natural sense of making plays when the breakdown is unusual. Now, can he make plays with structure? Now, what do you think about that? Patrick Mahomes is a Super Bowl champion. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, he's a Super Bowl champion.
E.J. Emmanuel. As most quarterbacks are in the college, he is very overreactive to bodies around him. There are concerns, but when you look at some of the positives, I'm very anxious to see where he gets drafted because he gives you that re-option factor. And lastly, but not least, Jamarcus Russell. The only thing that's going to keep Russell from being great is him. What it comes down to is you got to figure out whether this kid wants it to be the best quarterback in football. Your thoughts?
Most of the media goes from, they think that they know these players based off of how they've been interviewed and how they watch film and how they are able to evaluate one's player worth ethic for whatever reason. And they think that they just can understand a black quarterback's motives versus a white quarterback's motives. And to me, I think that if you're going to actually go and give those type of comparisons or give that type of evaluation, we're not standing, or black quarterbacks are not standing a equal chance in any stage in the NFL, rather if they are a cannon arm, or rather they're an elite runner, a scrabbler. Although Patrick Mahomes ended up winning the Super Bowl, they still had to question everything. And despite him winning the championship, despite him winning the Super Bowl, are they still questioning those motives? Oh, you damn right they are.
And got the biggest contract signed of his lifetime.
So now they're going to find something else to criticize him on. This big contract. Oh, he's not going to get all of this, what is it, $565 million? What was his contract?
I'm not sure.
Something like that.
I just know I'm jealous, that's all.
Who wouldn't be? You know, who wouldn't be? I mean, that's it's a big accomplishment. The way that people believe black quarterbacks should be the same way that they believe in these white quarterbacks. Period. You know, you had Andy Reid believe in Patrick Mahomes from day one.
And Michael Vick.
And Michael Vick from day one. You know, you cannot sit here and tell us that they have a just amount of a better opportunity to be treated as how they would be evaluated if there was a white quarterback. Equal stands, and these stereotypes, it just has to stop. It has to stop. It ain't fair. It ain't fair at all.
Let me just say this real quick. Trevor Lawrence, his best traits, field vision, pocket presence, accuracy, release time, mobility, athleticism, NFL readiness, leadership, scouts take. He is the best I've seen, and I've gotten into the league before Andrew Luck came out. He has it all. And he fails in the NFL, and if he fails in the NFL, it's because of the situation around him and not because of any shortcoming to his game. He's better than anyone in the last 10 drafts, and it's not even close. That comes from an NFL director of player personnel.
And it's funny that they didn't insinuate to say, oh, he's a mess.
Or
pretty much what you just said.
They pretty much said everything about the minority of a black quarterback.
Yes, and it's a mess. And you just said that about Trevor Wong. You just cleaned it up. That's what you did.
Physical characteristics pretty much for Trevor Lawrence. Didn't say anything else about that on there. And everything about the white quarterback, everything's every there. Fit prototype. Good or outstanding. Credit for production. Consistent. Calm. poise, leadership with command of the huddle, understands the game, display intelligence, and smart.
You clean the stuff up. You cannot do that. Just speak the truth. If they're a mess, damn it, they're a mess. Quit sitting up here trying to make it seem like that white quarterbacks are better than black quarterbacks. You can't stereotype these type of ordeals. You just can't do that. How are you showing fairness to one how we always express equality?
If you're going to use words, use them in equality and not in the way I just explained it.
You know, don't build up or don't clean up what you said about Trevor Lawrence because of the situation that surrounds him versus what exactly. You said about Patrick Mahomes or who was it? Or Deshaun Watson saying that he was a mess. Was it Jameis Winston?
Very well could have been any one of those quarterbacks, to be honest.
Yeah, it could have been any one of those. Like, oh, he's just a mess. You're pretty much saying the same thing. You're just saying it's a better term for Trevor Lawrence. Don't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. I'm thinking it was Cam Newton.
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton was the closest to a serious character red flags.
That ain't cool. That's why we always talk about these things.
Oh, yeah.
Stereotypes to how they treat other people. Other minorities.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about. This.
Yeah. Anything else? All right. We'll be right back with the sports talk of the podcast. We'll be right back.
I happen to see on Facebook that there was one post that I saw that I just felt like that we should just go ahead and just take a debate on it. Just take a few minutes and just debate this. So I decided to come up with just that. On the Facebook post, I had seen, which draft class would you have chosen? I think they picked like three different draft classes. So what I'm going to do is use it in a battle term. In the sense of, you know, who would you pick to win in a 5-on-5 game or a regular NBA game? This separates 10 years of draft class. So, who would you pick to win an NBA game in the draft class? 1986 draft class or the 96 draft class?
Jesus Christ. I didn't even prepare for this, because that right there.
Ooh. Here's the thing. With... This is difficult because the draft class of 86, there wasn't a lot of explosiveness there wasn't a lot of consistency with your first rounders of the 86 draft class. But the second rounders was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And then, of course, you had the battle of drug issues and deaths that, you know, surrounded that. You had Lynn Bias, who had OD'd and died from that. I think it was 2 days after the draft. Yeah, after 2 days after the draft. And he had got drafted to the Boston Celtics. And he was a promising player that could actually help the Celtics win in certain astrophotes of what the Lakers had won in the years that the Lakers did.
So that would have been an interesting take on it. But that was just some of the issues that were set about. And there was other drug problems that different players had in the first round. Chris Washburn, Ron Tarpley, and William Bedford, they also had drug problems that kind of took away their chances of being in the first round. Or playing, say the least. Just second rounders. Which you had Dennis Rodman, Mark Price, Kevin Duckworth, Nate McMillan, David Wingate, Johnny Newman, Ron Harper, Del Curry, Scott Skiles, Arvydas Sabonis, and Otis Smith. Oh, and not to mention Drazen Petrovic. These are your second rounders that actually made a difference that class. And then, of course, you had the 96 draft class. That's just blatantly obvious. Yeah,
that's blatantly obvious.
That's blatantly obvious. You had Allen Iverson. Yeah. You had Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Stephon Marbury, Ray Allen, Antoine Walker, Kobe Bryant, Peja Stojakovic, Steve Nash, Jermaine O'Neal, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Lord Jesus, there's so much here.
Yeah.
Tony Delk.
And I'm sitting here.
Ben Wallace.
And I'm sitting here saying, Grant Hill, I forgot he was on the 96 Dream Team and not the draft class.
Oof. 95, though. That was 95. With Jason Kidd. Couple rookies of the year.
That was one of my good draft classes right there, too, 95.
95, yeah. Yeah. You have those people in those draft classes. Who would you pick that would actually win in the NBA game?
96. The only reason I wanted to pick 86, but I'm not confident. I have to stick with 96. Plain and simple.
I'll pick an 86.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Look, here's the thing with the 86 draft class that really, nothing against, trust me, nothing against the 96 draft class.
Wasn't Garnett part of that 96 class?
I think he was, maybe.
Garnett was
I'm on the list. I think he was a year earlier.
95?
Yeah. Now, old Darvin Ham, he was in this draft, 96 draft class. You made me think about it. I'm not looking. I think he was.
I'm looking at Garnett right now.
That's what I was looking at.
I already have him up. Yep. He was a year before 95.
Yep, 95. I thought so. Now, considering with good draft class of 96, I chose 86 because.
Well, the show is anything but normal when Tom Curran joins us and he's.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, dang, dude, your voice changed.
Pro Talk Sports. Pro Sports Talk website got advertisements, and it just don't stay muted, so.
Now, with the 86 draft class, in my personal opinion, I don't want to say it like this, but I am. Not saying that there's experience in more of the 86 draft class, because there's just as much experience in the 96 draft class, too.
Yeah.
But they had more, the 86 draft class had more dominant they have more dominant physical of the different players that play. Well, I wouldn't even say Jeff Hornacek would. I don't even think he's just a good shooter. He's just a good shooter.
Yeah.
But Dennis Rodman would have been my main reason why to that the 86 draft class looks so good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He made the 86 draft class look so good around him with Mark Price and Jeff Hornacek, all them, McMillan, David Wingate, and all them. He made them look good. And for in 96, they all looked good. But Kobe really stuck that out 20 years. And he has a lot to show for that. And Dennis Rodman in 86 was just equivalent to 96. I was just kind of blown away that learning this, I didn't know Ron Harper was a twin.
I heard that.
I didn't know he was a twin.
I heard that. But I just did not pay any attention.
Yeah, so you have to, everybody talk about this Herman and Sherman ordeal or you know, something like that. Ronald and Donald.
That's worse than Herman and Sherman.
Bro, Ronald and Donald. Scary.
Daryl and Darren. Keith and Kevin. Ronald and Donald. Herman and Sherman. Are you flipping for real right now?
Man, would Marcus Markeith, would that even count? I don't think so.
Markeith and Marcus, not same ilm. It's not as close as, it's not as much as a rhyme.
Like a Ronald McDonald or Herman and Sherman or Durrell or Darren.
Mm-hmm. And
everything is the same except the first initial.
I would probably say the same for Tia and Tamara, too.
Yeah. That's a creepy one, too. Center that they look alike, so yeah. I just looked at that when I was looking at these draft classes and happened to come across Ron Harper and seen that he's a twin, and I didn't know that.
Horace and Harvey!
Yeah, that's even close.
Horace and Harvey!
That's close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beyond scary close. So, I'm suppressed for words on that. That's scary to me. But at any rate, 86 draft class for me. I like Dennis Rodman. He had really shown physicality in that draft class. I would take
86 for me.
Third down. Hey, I'm not even going to argue that, because that's just, they're both good draft classes. Well, they are good draft classes, but other than that, that's all I have.
All right. We'll be right back with the final thoughts. We'll be right back.
All right. Final thoughts, anything?
Not for final thoughts.
No. Before we get out of here, I'll share a couple things.
Just a second. Just a second, Uncle Remus. And then a big rant.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Go ahead.
I'm going to be very brief with this one real quick, Daryl, if you don't mind. I'm just going to be very brief. I just want to get this out real quick. Any questions you may have, we can talk about it on the podcast, but I just got to say this. People, do not let people make you feel guilty for making the decision they believe you may want. Do not let people coerce you into thinking that you should feel guilty. Do not let people think that you should go back. Do not let people think that your decisions are stupid. Do not let people think that your visions is not there when it is. If you want to do different things, do it. Money's not everything in this world. It's good to have it, but it's not everything in this world. The main thing is the fact that you are happy and you are able to do what you want to do and make money at the same time. That's my brand. That's all I have.
Wow. I have a feeling where that's going, but I don't want to jump to any conclusions.
You can jump to conclusions. Because you're probably right.
This might have something to do with love life, don't it?
Mm-hmm. Sure do. Yep.
Well, somebody must have put you on blast.
Wanted to, but I shut it down. I'm like, there's nothing to talk about. I'm not calling you.
Say again?
There's nothing to talk about, and I'm not calling you. Plain and simple. I'm not doing it. There's nothing to talk about.
Oh, somebody wants to call you.
Somebody did call me. Twice. Oh, I just wanted to talk. There's nothing to talk about. What is there to talk about? What is there to talk about?
This happened today?
Yes. Yes. I don't know. There is nothing for me to talk about, to vent about. There's nothing to talk about. I just wanted to move on from insurance and do something where I could be my own boss. Not continuing to do insurance. No, I'm burnt out. I'm done. Stop. Just stop. Stop. Just stop.
They don't get it. They don't get the message.
And it's just like, well, we done did this and we done did that. I know what you guys did. Again, ladies and gentlemen, do not let people think that you are wrong for a decision that you think is right for yourself. You are not wrong if your heart is somewhere else and not in where you're currently at.
Wow. I cannot believe that.
I'm not making this up, girl. I'm not making this up. That's my rant. And this has been going on, it's been going on for a while. But let's just say that it's been, you know, something that has always stayed with me because it was always drilled that you can't do this better somewhere else, but fail to realize that you could be your own entrepreneur and make your own money. You could be your own self-employment and make your own money.
And that's what kills me. They just feel like that's just the most
impressive
and the most decisive way that you can go. That there's no other option. That kills me. That kills me that they think that way.
There's plenty of options, folks.
You have options. Please let that be known.
You can go into stocks. Go into trading. You can be an entrepreneur. There are plenty of things you can do to make yourself some money.
Yeah.
IT, they make good money. You're not an entrepreneur, but you could be an entrepreneur once you get yourself up and going. I mean, I'm just saying. That's all.
I came across a tweet for Meta World Peace.
Huh? You came across a tweet.
Yeah, for Meta World Peace, yes. And he had to say this. I don't know when he said it. I was so mind blown when he said it that I forgot to look at when he sent the tweet. That the Pacers are 2 years away from winning the championship. That they are going to get to the second round and then to the championship round and then win it. He said, there are just too many pieces that's just there. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, firstly, they're under 500. Number two, they're struggling because they still cannot contain their injuries. They cannot contain their injuries. And they're 2 years away from winning the championship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 years? A lot can happen in 2 years.
I give it about 3 or 4.
3 or 4? You give them 2 times the amount.
They can't stay healthy, man. Miles Turner's already hurt. And then you got Demonis. He's still hurt.
What, so you think this is going to continue throughout the next couple of years?
The Pacers are not going to be thinking smart about how to manage and handle the situation.
They don't think smart when it comes down to long-term injuries. Somebody like Victor Oladipo and Paul George.
Well, Paul George.
Well,
Paul.
That's two different things, so.
Well, it's two different things, but I just felt like Paul George already won it out anyway. Victor Oladipo didn't.
That's the part of not thinking smart. But they did think smart with Paul George because that's how they got Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo before Victor Oladipo got traded. Because of his long-term injury and his long-term effect on the team.
Something's not going to sit right. That's why I'd probably give it 3 or 4 years because somebody's in going away.
I think that's all it's going to take for them to win the championship. If they stay the same as they are and just build to get healthier, I give it 2 years. Because they still got to learn under this new system of the Navy. Number two.
They do. But I just don't think they're smart enough to realize talent when they see it. They're going to end up probably trading Miles Turner. And then Domantas Sabonis will probably be benched. And then he's going to want to be out as a free agent and go somewhere else. It's going to be a mess. And then you got to rebuild, and maybe they might get better. Maybe that they actually do keep the game together. They rebuild, they get healthy, they build around them, and boom, they might win in the 2 years. But I can't see that. I can't see that.
I can. I can definitely see it.
They are trying to trade Miles Turner, man. They are trying to trade this dude. I cannot see it.
They would have been a trade him if that was the case.
Huh?
They would have been a trade him if that was the case.
Well, they couldn't find the right deal to make that work. So I believe in the offseason they are actually going to sit down and try to find a good deal to trade Miles Turner. That's what I think. Why would you want to trade Miles Turner and he is the top leading man in blocks?
I hope not. Because he's showing defensive player of the year. They trade
he
away.
Is.
If they trade Miles Turner this offseason and he wins defensive player award of the year, I am going to officially call the Pacers the jackasses of the NBA. Plain and simple.
You cannot trade. You cannot do nothing. This man needs to be on lock.
He needs to be on lock.
He needs to be on lock.
He's playing better under Nate Boychuk's system better than he was Nate McMillan's.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is what is frustrating me. That's why I don't even want this season to end, but it's going to have to end because I'm afraid something like that is going to happen. I really do. I hope and pray that they at least have an extension for him, at least.
At least, yeah.
At least for another 2-3 years. I'll be fine with that. A year is pushing it, but I'll accept it. You know, I mean, I just saw that tweet and it just like mind blew my head, man. It's like, oh, okay.
To me, he made a point. He made a point. A strong point.
I just thought he was half drunk, but
yeah, I guess I'm drunk. But that's how you feel.
I understand you want to make good, bold predictions about different teams and stuff like that and document it on Twitter. I get it. I'm good with it, but this one, I get it. It's pretty funny, so. But that's my little rant also. That's my final thoughts. But if there's nothing else we can wrap this bad boy up and get on out of here.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is not this another Double Take Sports Talk. Thank you for downloading to listen to our podcast. I am Earl.
Yep.
All right, catch you listening to another episode of Double Take Sports Talk. Until then,
ciao.
Ciao.